The Upkeep is brought to you by you. You can support the show by heading to patreon.com/glhfmagic and becoming a member for any dollar amount. Thanks.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Upkeep for Monday, December 23rd, 2019. All the magic news you need in 10 minutes or less. It's just me this week as Megan is out on Christmas vacation. All right, well, the first news item is that Theros Beyond Death previews are continuing. Awesome cards coming out all throughout January before the release on January 24th. Now, if you want to know where to find those previews and when they're going to be dropping, Wizards of the Coast has a site for you to go to where you can find out who will be previewing all of the cards and where exactly you can find those previews from content creators. For example, Good Luck High Fives is coming out on the 8th of January, and you can find it on our YouTube channel on youtube.com/goodluckhighfive. But that's right, we're not the only ones. Tons of other content creators will be releasing their previews all throughout the preview season. I'll have a link in the show notes and under the YouTube video to Wizard's site that lists all of the content creators and when their preview cards will be dropping. All right, some news now on the Theros Beyond Death story. So Wizards used to release story about the planes we were visiting on their website, dailymtg.com, and then they transitioned into ebooks with a few of the more recent sets in the past, and in fact, physical books like the War of the Spark novel. Well, this time around, it turns out that there will be no ebook whatsoever for Theros Beyond Death's story. However, what you can do is find out the story based on the story cards that you find in the set, just like you could before, and on this one webpage that they're offering a little tiny snippets of story. For example, on this website right now, they have kind of a backstory of Theros and three main story items, one concerning Elspeth, Sun's nemesis, the name of her new card, saying, "Dying on Theros doesn't mean your story is over, and Elspeth's next chapter is just beginning. Something has been disturbing her well-deserved rest in Elysia, and what's up with that strange black spear?" And Ashiok, the card there, Nightmare Muse. Ashiok continues to spread a unique brand of nightmares throughout Theros. Not even the underworld is safe from such dark power, and Elspeth's twisted memories are all too delicious for Ashiok to ignore. A lot of players, of course, notably upset about this change. A lack of story is a huge loss, in my opinion, the opinion of a lot of Magic players, to the game overall. So hopefully Wizards find some kind of solution that can make a lot more players happy in the future. We also now have some details on collector boosters for Theros Beyond Death, including exactly what's going to be in those expensive boosters as well. You're going to get two premium foil basic Nyx lands. That's the lands of full art that have the mana symbol on them. 8 premium foil common, uncommon, or non-Nyx basic lands. 1 ancillary card, which is each booster will contain one card from a Theros Beyond Death ancillary release, including planeswalker decks, theme boosters, buy a box promo, that kind of thing. You'll also get 1 non-foil rare or mythic with the extended art frame, 1 premium foil rare or mythic rare, and these can be either standard frame or foil versions of the collector booster frame, 1 non-foil saga or constellation showcase frame card. These can be uncommon rare or mythic rare and can include borderless planeswalkers, 1 foil constellation showcase frame card, and this slot will have one of the 5 uncommon showcase demigods, one of the six showcase rares, or one of the 3 borderless planeswalkers, and finally 1 premium foil token from Theros Beyond Death. These release with the set on January 24th. Good news about Challenger decks. They are officially coming back, and we now know when they're coming back. April of 2020. Challenger decks were these cool decks that could get 75 card, 60 card main deck, and then of course your 15 card sideboard to bring to FNM. They are ready to do battle with, and you could kind of amend them and add cards as you saw fit. So coming on April 3rd, 2024, brand new standard legal decks for you to choose from. They're a great way for people to get into the game, to start playing standard at FNM or wherever they play standard, even at your kitchen table or something like that. Really cool, and usually follow a theme of what is popular in standard and work their way into Challenger decks that way. An update here for you on the MTG Companion app. This is now in open beta for Android users. iOS users, do not worry. That will be coming early in 2020, according to Wizards of the Coast. Right now, the app is basically a tournament organizer for your home tournaments, if you want to try that out. But Wizards is hoping to use this open beta to kind of test it out and see if they can get it to be an event reporter, an official event reporter to use at Grand Prix and other big tournaments like that. some pioneer bands to announce. They always announce them on Monday, so the upkeep is usually kind of like a week behind on these. But just FYI, these were the most recent pioneer bands. Oko, Thief of Crowns, and Nexus of Fate were banned in Pioneer. The reasoning here for Oko, they say over the past few weeks, Simic Food Ramp has had a nearly 60% non-mirror match win rate on Magic Online and has earned more than twice as many 5-0 league finishes than any other archetype. The Simic Nexus deck, meanwhile, has had the second highest win rate and a number of 5-0 league finishes among top decks. So yeah, Wizards of the Coast, they're taking some measures to keep Pioneer healthy here in the early days of the format. Bye-bye, Oko, and bye-bye, Nexus of Fate. A huge update here about esports. So if your dream is to play in a Mythic Invitational coming up next year, or you're just a really competitive arena player, or you like watching the coverage of the arena events, you're going to want to listen up. First things first, Wizards has confirmed the dates for the three Mythic Invitational events of the 2020 calendar year. Number one will be Ikoria, Lair of Behemoths, and that is going to run May 14th through the 17th, Core 2021, July 23rd through the 26th, and Zendikar Rising, October 22nd through the 25th. And these events will be a little bit different than what you might be used to when you think of a Mythic Invitational. Remember, these are no longer Mythic Championships. They are now all called Mythic Invitationals. They'll feature 128 invitations, which is a lot bigger even from our last event. Our last Mythic Championship didn't have anywhere near 128 players, up from the previously announced 64 players. They'll have $750,000 prize pools and will be held over a four-day period as opposed to the 3 days that we normally see at these events. An update, too, to Mythic qualifying events on Arena. They're now going to be one-day events instead of two-day events like they were previously. Wizards of the Coast said, hey, we realize that time commitment's pretty big to ask people to be able to play for 2 days, so we're going to move it down to 1 day and kind of see how that goes. Some people not too happy because you do have to do quite a bunch of winning here, which I'll get to in a second. You still need to be in the top 1,200 to qualify from the previous month, and players will need to play to 10 wins or 2 losses, whichever comes first. And anyone with 10 wins will be invited to the Mythic Invitational, and anyone with 5 or more wins will receive a certain amount of Mythic points yet to be determined there. You can use those to qualify for the Mythic Invitational. Each win, you also get 200 gems for that. In the previous system, all players who made day 2 of a Mythic qualifier weekend received Mythic points, and the top 16 finishers were invited to the Mythic Invitational, so some big changes there. All right, we also have this new thing called Mythic Point Challenges. They are open once again to the top 1,200 finishers the month before, and you play to 10 wins or 3 losses. This is best of 3 standard, just as the Mythic qualifiers are. Players with 5 wins, you'll get Mythic points there, which will help you climb the ladder towards the Rivals League. You also, once again, get 200 gems per win. So here's a quick look at the Ikoria Mythic qualifiers or Mythic points challenge schedule. So on January 11th, that'll be the first qualifier. That'll invite the top 1,200 from the December rankings. On February 29th, that's a Mythic point challenge. It'll invite the top 1,200 from the January rankings. And then on March 14th, that'll be qualifier number 2, inviting the top 1,200 from the February rankings. If you're looking a little bit further out, if you're a planner, Core 2021 qualifiers and challenge schedule, I'll just let you know right now, April 4th will be the challenge, May 23rd will be the first qualifier, and June 20th will be qualifier number 2. Wizards has also announced that the top 8 players in the Mythic Point rankings in the first quarter of 2020 events, so this would be the Ikoria events, who are not otherwise invited to the Ikoria Mythic Invitational, will earn invites as part of the increase from 64 to 128 players that we talked about earlier. So another way to qualify right there. Good news now for people who miss Grand Prix coverage, at least a little bit of good news. Grand Prix Portland in December this past weekend was supposed to have video coverage, but Wizards of the Coast has actually moved that to Grand Prix Austin, or Magic Fest Austin, coming up in January. Something else cool about that video coverage will be the Team Series Finals will be held at the same time as well. That's going to be Team Ultimate Guard versus Haruya Sword. The winner gets $100,000, runner-up gets $50,000, not too shabby, and the two teams will be competing and Theros Beyond Death team drafts, which is going to be pretty awesome. So it's going to be coverage of that, coverage of Grand Prix Austin, and then, of course, the top 8 of Grand Prix Austin coming up after the coverage of the Team Series final. So that is an event you're not going to want to miss on Twitch that weekend of Grand Prix Austin in January. Speaking of Grand Prix, let's talk about Grand Prix Portland. 510 players showed up to do battle in Standard. The winner was Dylan Noland with the Rakdos Knights. All right, Dylan, give that dino a sword. taking on the whole thing there. Jund's Sacrifice, which was actually the most played deck on day one, but it didn't make it into the top eight. And once again, Rakdos Knights taking down the whole thing. All right, there you go. That's all the Magic news you need to get your week started off right. Remember, you can check out our full-length podcast, which is our Crimbies episode, where we give awards to cards and Magic events throughout the year on Good Luck High Five, available anywhere fine podcasts are found. And if you want to do some end-of-year giving and just say thank you for the upkeep, you know, existing, head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/glhfmagic. And thank you so much for listening. Good luck!